kalau misah engkonya mah fal matruhan Suleiman and Jacobus. And Jacobus, who could not be here for various reasons. Now, in the context of what we were supposed to do, and perhaps let me just start by saying, okay, that's fine. Isn't it easier for me to move as opposed to the two of you? Aiba, you have. Okay. No, but well, all members of the portfolio committee have been invited. Maybe it could have been an oversight on their part, because what they did is they sent the invitation straight to the members. Yeah. But then the intention was that all the invitation should have gone to all members. But that's what they said. So it might be an oversight on their part. So there's this Africa Regional Heads of Mission Conference. Now we know every 2 years there's the Heads of Mission Conference that takes place that we normally attend, which gives us insight into, you know, what the department is doing in its missions, the kind of issues that missions are dealing with, and so on and so on. This time they have a regional Heads of Mission Conference of the Africa region. So all our African ambassadors are in Pretoria discussing issues affecting the region. That conference is taking place from, essentially from today. There are other, you know, some of their own issues that they are dealing with today and tomorrow. We've been invited to attend. Now, what we've then done is to submit an application to the principals to allow members to go. But because of the parliamentary program, we would therefore not be able to go, at least before Friday. Right. So we've then applied for is that Friday? Yes, but I mean for attendance. It's Friday. Friday only. Yes. Now that has been approved. So those members that want to go, the arrangements are being made by the committee section. The committee secretary will engage with you to confirm this coming Friday. But then the committee secretary will engage with each of you to check your availability and to have all the arrangements in place. Any question?
On Friday, in KwaZulu-Natal, Durban, trading with BRICS, positioning KZN business to capture opportunities in the BRICS economies. That's what we receive. But I don't know, it's not from, I asked him, it's not from our committee, but I don't know who is it from. As he was a chair, Dr. Petrus de Kok, the manager. This is the only invitation.
I have no knowledge of that invitation. I have no knowledge of that invitation. However, as I'm saying, the understanding that we have is that they sent invitations individually to members. So they may be, now it's fine, I accept there may be those members that didn't receive them, but I would assume it's an oversight on their part. But the invitation is extended to the entire committee. The entire committee has been approved to go. So those that are available, we will then engage with them to make the necessary arrangements. But sorry for, if we were aware, of course, that you didn't receive your invitation, we would have spoken to them just to make sure that that's... Baba.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know members find it fine to receive the invitations as individuals, but to me that is ineffective when it comes to the portfolio committee. I would have thought to carve a role or a niche for the portfolio committee on that convocation of these ambassadors and high commissioners. The invitations ought to come in a coordinated fashion, that the committee itself might even decide that, for instance, the issues that we discuss here, which are far-reaching effects at some point, I mean, we talked about treaties, we talked about all those things, it could be said the portfolio committee can also appoint one among itself or two to make a report or to give a report to that convocation about the views of the portfolio committee. So the portfolio committee can choose anybody, but then it has to come there as a committee also. Even if it's two or three people, but they should be representing the views of the committee. And it must be given an niche or a space to participate, to say something about what we discuss here all the time. But if we receive invitations as individuals, it's simply, it's ineffective. I mean, yes, we can go, but it means going there to listen to what these people are saying without saying our views as a collective.
No, your point is taken. Baba, your point is taken. I happen to agree with you. I think what we will do in the future is to talk to the DG or his political principals to look at how they, you know, could incorporate the views of the committee into their head of mission conferences. I agree with you. I think we could look at that.
I think what the Honourable Member is saying is that we must encourage the department to communicate with you, and then through you, you communicate with the core, with the portfolio committee, and then you could be able to take decisions. To expect them to communicate with individual members might just disorganize the committee, because you are not representing each or yourself, you are representing the portfolio committee. That's what you must encourage between us and the department.
Yeah, no, that's exactly how I understood. I didn't bring that up, but I wanted to talk to this specific issue. But yes, I agree with that. I agree with that completely. Okay, let's finalize it that and deal with it that way going forward. Now, the Israeli-Palestinian visit, Israeli-Palestine visit. Members, as I said, the visit was, the mission was approved and everything is fine. Now, we received a communication from the department advising us not to go, because of the Israeli elections taking place in January. They raised issues of the unavailability of some of the players, the key players there. And we had a long discussion, several discussions, by the way, with both Ambassador Kuvadia and Ambassador Machila, the DG, about this matter. Now, I've spoken to, I couldn't get hold of Honorable Davidson, but I called all the leaders of the opposition parties. I spoke to, I actually started with about Skosa. And I raised this issue with them, say that the department has this view. Now, after several up and down, we still could not reach an agreement on the matter. Now, the understanding, and that's what I communicated to them, was that, look, it's ultimately our decision to go or not to go, right? Your advice, they understood that. But they pointed out the difficulties in the sense that, one, the Israeli Foreign Ministry is in fact shares their view that the committee should rather come after the elections in January. And they were suggesting somewhere between April, March, April. March, April. Between March and April next year. Now, it's as I said to you, honorable members, when we spoke last week, we did not buy that argument then. Personally, I still do not buy the argument now. But I think there's a one issue that's nagging. While it's our decision to go or not to go, right? But firstly, we are completely dependent on the department to facilitate and organize all the engagements that we're supposed to have there. That's the first thing. The second one is the question that is really nagging at me is how this visit will go, considering that the department is not in favor of this visit. Because I would have thought that, you see, you don't want to go into a situation as volatile as the one there in that country, without necessarily receiving the support of Kirko. I'm raising this so that when we engage on this issue, we are mindful, that should be taken into, that we consider it, because that region, we know. I mean, I don't need to lecture you about the Israel and Palestine. That part of the world, you know the difficulties there. So I'm throwing this to you. I actually received an SMS from Ambassador Kuvadia earlier this morning. He actually wanted to know my or what the committee's final. Final decision is on this issue. So I'm throwing it to you, honourable members, for you to make the final determination on where we should go with this matter. But I mean, all I can say to you really is it's been a hard and long fight around to this particular issue. And again, I want to stress, there is no illusion, between us and the department about where the decision lies with regard to whether we should go or not. So that's not even an issue. But all I'm saying is, I'm bringing it here, having communicated to them our decision, but I'm bringing it here so that we collectively take, a conscious and deliberate decision, having had the opportunity to discuss and look at both pros and cons of the issue.
I just say this. I mean, first of all, I hear the department, but the department is actually there to actually serve us. They might advise against us, but if we decide to go, the
then they have no option but to arrange what we want to have arranged. It's not as if they can sit back and say, well, we don't feel like it, or we can't do it, or we won't do it. They're duty-bound. They are servants of the state, so to speak. And if a parliamentary committee decides to go on a trip, well, it's their duty there for them to facilitate it. Second of all, I think the more important question for me is how useful will the trip be at this point in time. Now, I don't know to what extent an itinerary has been prepared in respect of who we were going to go and see and what their availability is now that an election is upon us. I'm conscious of two things. One is on the Palestinian side. I don't think it would mean anything, quite frankly. If there's an Israeli election going on, well, let them have their election. We still have got our team, their team, involved. On the Israeli side, I don't know who we were going to meet. One thing I am convinced of, if one keeps up with the latest trend in what is happening in Israel, that Netanyahu will be re-elected. No question about that. So there's unlikely to be a policy change. So in that context, officials are officials, and they will still be in place. We may not be able to see individual politicians, regrettable. I'm sure some may well make themselves available. But officials will be there, but I'm sure they won't be participating in the election, or they may not be. So all in all, I mean, I don't see a great problem of us going. Indeed, one of the advantages of going when there is an election on is that issues become more crisp. And you will be able to see both sides at their best or both sides at their worst. And that may well enlighten us or disillusion us. But that will be there to go and find out. So all in all, I mean, I don't see any problem. But it does worry me that the department seems to be, and the ambassadors seem to be so reluctant. But that's their problem. You know, they must do ultimately what Parliament wants us to do and for them to facilitate what is there for us to do. But you see, I'm a little concerned that there's another agenda here. And this is, and it's just off the top of my head, look, it's a really sensitive subject, that which we are going to look at. Because it is one of the hot spots of the world. And I just wonder whether there isn't some manoeuvring on behalf of the department to delay us going, because perhaps it doesn't suit them for us to go poking our nose in a place where there are huge sensitivities and problems. And you know, we might come out with views that are perhaps slightly different to their own. I'm just a little bit worried that that's really the agenda, where, you know, their attitude is, well, let's not send people at a time when the issue is most sensitive. But I don't know.
You see, the department is not giving correct guidance. It's not dealing with the substance. It's not telling us what is it that we should not see. That becomes a little difficult when Parliament has been working on the Israel-Palestine question for some time. And then when we want to go and witness what is exactly going on, they then use the election as something that says you can't go. You see, to me that is not convincing. Because as Davidson is saying, we are parliamentarians are interested to see how the relationship is working. We're interested to see the results of, since the fever of the unrest around that particular region, we've not been able to put in our fingers into the pie to see exactly what does those development mean for our own relations. The ill-preparedness of the department really is not a worrying factor. It's our interest and our relations and what are we spending for around a particular region. So as of now, Chair, I'm of the view that let's give support for the trip to go ahead and let the department prepare. But the difficulties are, they must prepare. But I can't, for their own sovereignty, they must prepare. And it's in their interest to defend and make sure that members of parliament are there to see what is exactly going on. The best time in all times for politicians is when other politicians are talking about their own issues among themselves. And election time is a nice time for us as politicians. For the department it might not be, but for us, that's a nice time to go and engage and listen to all sides of the story. So I'm supporting the view that can the committee go.
Mr. Chair, I feel exactly the same as my colleagues, and I think that the best time to go is as close as possible to election. Because then you can see the issues and you can see what the people are fighting for and you can see what or they actually stand for and their way forward. Because there's no better time when things are spilled out is during election or just before election. Because then you can see what direction they're going. Because otherwise when you go other times you can hear stories but you won't hear the real thing. Because the real thing is only on the table when there's elections. So I support this and I think that the Israelis and that people are, they want attention and they want to spread their story and they want to sell their side of the story and they will definitely make time for anybody that would come and would is prepared to listen to what they have to say. So I cannot see how there won't be people that's not prepared to see us because the distances are not far there and there will definitely be people.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also want to share the sentiments here. I think Honourable Davidson is correct when he says that if the Speaker and Parliament approved the trip and gave authority, then I don't think the Department ought to try to deter us from doing this. I think they can in terms of frustrating us with logistics. But I think politically they don't have to do that. The other thing that I think compels us to do the trip itself, you remember that the Oslo Accord has drawn in the whole of the Security Council into the Middle East. It has drawn in the national powers such as Russia, France, and the superpower, the U.S., and then you also have the quartet, which is led by Britain, which has drawn in other national powers into the region. And they are likely to be there also during the elections. So we're not going there simply to represent the portfolio committee, but we're representing the whole of the country because there are views about Israel, views about the Palestinians, which are coming out of South Africa. And I think South African people also need an informed type of communication about what is happening in the Middle East. And that can only be done through us if we go there. Yes, it is okay to sit here and listen to officials from the department making presentations, but the more they do that, the more we find that we need to know. For instance, we had these presentations on Morocco there last week. I mean, there came out more questions than answers. That we even thought that we may have to visit that place to know what is actually happening there. So I think we have this moral obligation to do this.
No, thank you. All of us share the very same sentiments around this issue. As I said, my own take really is not about the substantive issues and, you know, So the, I mean, from what I could gather in my engagements with both the DG and the ambassador, they felt strongly that, you know, we shouldn't go, at least not now. Now, and my fear is that, because you see, at some point the DG said, look, Chair, we've had committees in the past that we've advised against going to some areas. And they've gone anyway, and we tried to organize whatever they requested us to do. And when they got there, they simply didn't find people to meet with them. And it wasn't, you know, such a useful exercise. Now, perhaps, let me just quickly, I'll just try to pick out the relevant sections out of this letter. Derico welcomed this initiative. I would like to inform you, however, that the Israeli Prime Minister announced the legislative elections, and that it's expected that the Knesset will dissolve and the elections will start in earnest. This, in effect, will mean that the Portfolio Committee will not be able to engage with their counterparts as the visit will coincide with the preparations for elections. During a meeting between Ambassador Kuvadia and the Deputy Director General for Africa in the Israeli Foreign Ministry, Ambassador Avi Granot, the latter indicated Israel's appreciation, but emphasized that the timing was not ideal due to the reasons mentioned above. He further strongly recommended that the visit be postponed until after the elections and proposed a date between March and April next year. And then the request a request for the consideration of this proposal. So this in essence. Now, the other issue they raised, members, around this, you see, what they said was their fear was also that because we won't be able to meet with, you know, so to speak, prominent political figures, the visit might be criticized as one-sided, you know, as not taking into account the unavailability of, they raised a concern about the fact that if this visit is not supported by the Israeli government, the one concern is that they might refuse us permission to go into the West Bank, amongst others, permission to go into Gaza from Israel, which would mean that we would have to go out of Israel, go around, go to Egypt, then into Gaza. So these issues were raised in basically as if they were by the way, you know, issues. They weren't the issue was the question of unavailability, but this at some point came up. So we might press ahead, and all indications from you are that we will go ahead nonetheless. So we'll do that, and I'll communicate that to them. I'm raising this merely to point out to you that there's a possibility that we might run into this kind of thing. Therefore, I'll be with you in a minute. Therefore, my own take would be that in terms of our planning, I think our planning must take that kind of thing must take it into consideration. I'm just saying that, I'm raising it so that you bear that in mind, honorable members. I don't think it's going to change your view about the matter, but perhaps we could, if that happens, circumvent this kind of problem by you know, doing the planning in such a way that it takes that into account. Okay. Okay.
I do understand your reluctance or your hesitation. But I think that two things must be borne in mind. First, I think I repeat the point that on the Palestinian side, I don't think there'll be a problem.
No, there won't be problems. Yeah.
On the Israeli side, I know that when it became known, because I mean it's a small world, that this committee was going, I was immediately contacted by the Zionist Federation and the Jewish Board of Deputies and God alone knows who other bodies, who were very keen for them to arrange briefings for us here and there. And so, I mean, you know, quite frankly, I said, look, I mean, you know, quite frankly, I'm not organising it and you must just contact the relevant people in Parliament. But I mean, so there's no doubt in my mind that they would make sure, because it is in their own interest, to get the best possible people representing their point of view to talk to us. Otherwise, they'd be cutting off their nose to spite their face. So, I mean, if it is announced that we are going, I have no doubt that from the Israeli side, they will be falling over themselves to tell us exactly their version of the story. I don't think we need to worry any iota about that, quite frankly.
The same happened to me. The Cape Town branch contacted me and I referred them to our secretary. They contacted me and said they would like to.
No, I'm still going to insist, Chair. Let's make preparations and call. And you see, it would be amazing because of announced election and government falls apart. It's the first time I hear of such a scenario. You see, it's very interesting that I've never heard about it. It means that everybody, when you announce election, then you collapse and close offices and say, this government is not functioning. It's the first time I hear about it. That's what amazes me, that how does the department come to such a conclusion? Yeah, we do. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So I'm just saying that that's a little bit shocking. They must not exaggerate logistics.
Okay.
I'm just saying that... Let's emphasize, Chairman, and as other members are saying, there's a lot of other groupings. For us as South Africans, Jewish are South Africans, and as a state, we must take responsibility for their well-being, you see, and that relationship has got influence on our course and the stability of our own country, and I don't think that what they are providing us will change the course, you see. So I'm just saying that, let's be very clear. The department must prepare to its best. It must do that. If it doesn't want a collision with the portfolio committee, it must prepare. And our members must be protected. But they shouldn't start looking for excuses, which are not political. We are politicians. Which means that nobody goes to America because there's election today. You see, there's a big, I mean, the weather there is haphazard. But the government is running. It has to spend more than $3 billion. You mean that it's going to wait for the elections? They must not make us live differently to this day. Let's give each other support. Encourage them as much as you can. And use also the other NGOs to assist into putting up the best for the sake of our own image as a country.
Okay, no. It's fine. Honorable Dudley, welcome. Can I say this off the record? Is a principal point. And I think Honourable Rose talked about it. And that is this. If we go, from one point of view, it will be a very good thing. Because what we will be doing is asserting the right of Parliament to actually do what it wants to do and not be dictated to by the executive. And every so often, the executive needs to be reminded
that we are a separate institution with a will of our own. Okay, so no, honourable members, that's fine. I will then finally communicate this matter to the department, cognizant and confident that I have the unequivocal support of the committee, because I've been really fighting with these people for some time, and so no, that's fine, and that actually concludes our meeting. Okay, sorry, you wanted to say something. From a procedural point of view, members are being sponsored for trips going anywhere. However, that sponsorship must then be approved basically by the speaker. That's normally how it happens. When we went to Gaza the last time, you recall, it was also a sponsorship from the CICC, the Council for European and Palestinian Relations. It was the Council for European and Palestinian Relations. It was a sponsorship. Parliament didn't pay, but it had to be approved by the Speaker. That's the normal process. So we should basically undertake that normal process so that you could possibly, with the approval of the Speaker, be included in the delegation. Yes, that information is there. Yes, can I request that? Yes, can I request that with the committee secretary, he knows all the details with regard to how that works, né? That we deal with it there and try to get that done. But from my point of view, that shouldn't be an issue. The bigger the delegation, the better. Okay, thanks.